Welcome to What's On Your Face, a podcast about beauty, pop culture, and all fun things on the internet. I'm Sade.
And I'm MJ.
Welcome.
Hi, Sade.
Hey, babes. How are you?
I'm good. I love our intro. Like, what fun things on the internet have we been digging?
There's so much on the internet to look at, to be honest with you. I'm always like enjoying the many different things that are on the TikTokies, the Instagrammies. There's so much.
I am in some weird TikTok realms. I'm on this girl who eats raw vegetables with cottage cheese and mustard. God. And then
and
she
don't
eats.
Don't ever in your life send that shit to me ever again. It's weird. And you keep sending
we
it.
We get
to
it.
Me.
You don't like mukbang. And I don't either. But I'm, for some reason, I just like that she eats all this stuff with mustard and then she eats some stuff without mustard and she eats like hearts of palm and it's caused a hearts of palm shortage in the US and a cottage cheese shortage.
Oh my God. Well, it's crazy. they keep saying there's a recession, but apparently not because when people are eating heart palms and cottage cheese, everybody's going out and buying all of it. So I guess America's just thriving. Everybody's eating.
America's thriving from that TikTok and also from Taylor Swift concerts, apparently. It's like rejuvenated the economy. People are flying out to see her show, staying at hotels, you know, eating at Chili's. Who knows?
They're doing that here in Singapore. People are absolutely losing their fucking minds over Taylor Swift here in Singapore. It's like pretty wild that how excited people are about her.
I mean, I would be excited if I freaking got tickets.
Wait, so you're like, are you a Swiftie? Are you a fan?
No, but I do enjoy her music. Like, she's the Shakespeare of our time.
The fuck did you just say? Are you out of your mind?
I read this article in like the New Yorker and it compared Shakespeare's prose to Taylor Swift's. It's about like love and, you know, all these teenage angsty issues. And she, like the way she writes her songs, it's, I mean, you got to give it to her. And they're catchy, but it's very angsty. It's like super over sexual. And I was listening to it the other day and it's like little teenage girls are listening to this. And it's just like, I need some D and it couldn't, you know, it's like, he didn't like me, but I really want him. I don't like her. And she used to be my best friend.
No. I'm like the anti Taylor Swift. Like, I find her to be excruciatingly obnoxious. I think that she like just plays the victim all the time when she's absolutely not the victim. I find Taylor Swift to be all of the problems that like she is all of the problems that are wrong with like white feminism, in my opinion. I know that's loaded, but she's like, I just find her to be like, oh my God, nobody likes me, but everybody loves me and like looking at me and I'm so blonde and I'm skinny and I'm attractive and like people don't like me because like no way, like everybody in this room doesn't like me, therefore everybody hates me, so everybody should love me. And I'm just like, God, get the fuck over yourself. You literally are like, you're rich, you're blonde, you're skinny, you're white.
But isn't
you're
that
an artist.
The narrative for every child pop star has like the same suite of emotional, mental, like, you know.
Not Britney Spears. She's a fucking legend. Been through some shit. She's a god. And somebody needs to like come into her house and like sort her out a little bit. But she's a fucking icon. And I don't hear her complaining all the time. And when Britney Spears does complain.
Because she was in shackles, basically. She was in a conservatory.
She has
whatever
real trauma. She has real issues. Mm. Not like this Taylor Swift, because like Kanye. And to be fair, let's have a real conversation. The award that she beat Beyonce for.
Yeah.
Fair. What was the song? Okay. What was the song?
No, but that's a bigger issue of just those awards shows just totally unable to recognize talent where there is talent. Like historically, you know, going back to fucking DMX, going all the way back, you know?
So good. And the fact that Nicki Minaj has never won a Grammy
is crazy.
It's fucking insane.
I know.
It is insane. If she does not win one for fucking Barbie, whatever that shit is that she's doing with Ice Spice, if she doesn't win a Grammy for that shit,
we need to burn
I don't
the place
know what
down.
Else to do. She burn the entire industry needs no, to be like fucked. At its knees to fucking Nicki Minaj. It's, like what the
when I learned that fact, I was like, what the actual
how?
Fuck?
And don't like, get me wrong, I love Cardi B. I love Cardi B, but how does she have a Grammy?
Oh, she does. Okay.
She does.
Yeah.
And
Megan Thee Stallion?
Nicki Minaj. Megan Thee Stallion doesn't have a Grammy. She does not have a Grammy.
I thought she had something.
Love Megan, though. Yeah. Maybe she does. No. Maybe for WAP, because I know WAP was huge. But like, I mean, Nicki Minaj, she should have.
She's
over,
goat.
Like hand over. She's a fucking goat.
She's the goat.
How?
Yeah. No, the industry's fucked up.
And Taylor Swift is just here, just like, it's just fucking annoying. Like she's
I want to know how
she can bring out
she
Ice
is.
Spice and she can wear PMG all she wants. She's not getting past my radar. I'm not. I just can't.
I'm just going to quickly Google how rich is Taylor Swift?
Oh, I think 3x mil. 3x mil at like
what do you
low
mean 3x
hundreds maybe.
Mil? She's a bill. Like, would she not be?
No. She a billionaire?
Dude, as of 2023, her net worth is 740 million.
Okay, 3x mil.
Oh, okay, that's what you meant by 3x mil. I was like, she doesn't have.
No, she's 3x mil, guaranteed, certified.
Yeah, don't make me do math is the name of the game. Okay.
But like 3x meaning like there's three numbers and then a million behind it.
I thought you said there's like a three and then another. Anyway, okay.
No, she's definitely, that white feminine money, it gets the coins.
It gets
the coins going.
Episode.
It sure the fuck is. And it's not one that I'm going to do
because
I don't want to
agenda today.
Yeah, we do have a full agenda.
We have some exciting things to talk about. No, I mean, that was a good...
yeah.
That was a good tangent.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. No, you're right. I absolutely wholeheartedly agree.
All right, MJ. What the fuck is on your face? That's what we should change it to. The fuck is on your face?
Well, speaking of white women being white, the Gucci Westman contour stick is on my face. I bought it full price.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was like $70-something.
That's CT. That's Charlotte Tilbury dollars. Okay. That's Charlotte Tilbury.
Okay,
money.
But the packaging is really nice. It's like
really nice, yeah.
Hefty. It's smaller than I thought it would be. Like as I'm thinking, you know, Mario stick size. Sorry.
Yeah, which is big, yeah. Huge, chunky.
Can't speak. Okay. So, and then I got it. It was smaller than I thought, but the packaging is really hefty. The outer box I thought could use a little updating. Wasn't super impressed with that packaging, but the inside was beautiful. And then the color was gorgeous. I went into a Mecca actually to buy this. And I'm like, yeah, I'm looking for the stick that's like kind of cool tone. And the woman who was helping me, who was super nice, she was like, yeah, we don't have any cool tone ones. And I'm like, I think you do. And then we go to the counter and she like swatches it. And she's like, yeah, it's not cool tone. I'm like, yeah, I think it is, babe. And I'm like, it's biscuit. And she was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I guess you're right. And she was really nice about it. But I'm like, yeah, I think this would be good on me for like a cool tone contour. And she's like, yeah, I could. And I'm like, okay, thank you.
She's like, just buy it and get out.
No, she was really nice. And then I did buy it and I did get out. And then I picked up a couple Brooklyn Ellis fragrance testers or sample sizes. So the contour stick is really nice. It's very creamy. It's very easily blendable, but you can see the pigment and you can see the contour. It's like
comparable
a beautiful gray. Comparable
Who's
to what?
Comparable to? Who is it comparable to?
It's hard because it's creamier than Mario. It's creamier than Milk, but it stays way creamier than Nude Six. It's like almost glistening in the bullet.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a pretty outstanding review.
It's quite good.
Glistening.
Yeah. It's like wet in the bullet. It's really good. So I've been using that and I've been doing the underpainting method. So I like paint my face where the contour is. And then I've been using a foundation stick alternating between Milk, which is really old, and my Hourglass foundation stick, which is also really old, like pre-COVID. But it works and it doesn't smell. You're still using it.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been doing that and I just kind of paint my face with it, like paint by numbers. And then I blend it all in with like a brush. And it's been fun.
You're having a good time, it sounds like.
I'm having a good time over here. What do you have on your face?
So on my face, I've been mixing Rare Beauty blushes, and it's kind of like fun because you know these Rare Beauty blushes, they're like a lifetime investment. They're not going anywhere, right?
You're
going
to have it for life.
I'm going to have that shit for life. So one, I recently got Grateful, which is from the blush, which is like this like fire engine red color, which I love it. And then I decided to mix that like fire engine red with Encourage. And it's like beautiful when you blend like two different colors. And I actually, another one I really like, which is the purple one, which is Faith. So nice. So I'm like really getting into like mixing the Rare Beauty blush because you normally do like the 2 to 3 dots. I do 2 dots. So I'm doing one of the other and I love it. I know, I'm just fucking riding it. I love it. But I love it and I'm super excited about that.
Can I just interject with a gripe?
Yeah.
Like I kind of wish.
Let's hear your gripe.
Like I love Selena, I love Rare Beauty. Let's just preface with that. But I do wish that she named her shades in a way where it was more indicative of the motherfucking shade, you know? Like when you say Grateful, I'm like, that could be any motherfucking color, you know?
Yeah, but that's like, the point is like all of these like words of affirmation.
I know. Like, but like when you say hot chocolate, I know what kind of color it's going to be, you know?
Yeah,
when you say like cherry, you know?
Hot cherry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or because like I'm black. I love her. I love Rihanna. I do. I want to meet her, but then I'm scared, you know?
You'll meet her one day. Okay, keep going. Maybe. But that was just my gripe that I wanted to air out.
But you're absolutely correct. So that, and then I like found this little gem. It's the Huda Beauty double-ended eyeliner. So you have one end that's just like, it's a kind of eyeliner where like, it's like a pen. You pull it out and it's like a felt tip. Like a felt tip, yeah.
Yeah.
No, how do I describe it? Like
a sharp felt tip.
It is a sharp felt tip, but like it detaches. And then you like draw it. It's like, I don't know how to like, it's fucking cool. So I love that. And then the other side is just like a regular retractable pencil. But yeah, it's really like, I'm really into it. And when I first saw it, I was just like, this is not like for me. And then I kind of went back to it and I was like, and now I'm like, this is my new favorite thing. So I'm really into that. It's like a double-ended eyeliner. And then I got my little grubby fingers on Augustinus Batters lip balm.
Oh, God.
It is nice.
No, but like, is it going to be nicer than any other lip balm? Like, is it nicer than Leno Lips, which I think is a really beautiful lip balm?
You know what? Have you tried Nude Sticks? Their nude butter thing, whatever it's called. Butter.
No.
It's
Can you give me one?
Sickening. Yeah. It's
for the lips.
Really nice.
Is it a doe foot or a bullet?
It is a doe foot. You're right. It's a doe foot with like where it like comes out of the middle. Like it like splooshes out of the middle, like in like a little like dollop.
Uh-huh.
And it has like the like capsicum like plumping effect.
Wait.
And so it's like, or like really minty, not capsicum, but like a minty, like menthol-y effect.
No, I don't want that.
As well as it gives you it's super fucking glossy. It's so nice.
Those are two very different. Like, I'm sorry, but that's comparing like an apple to a fucking pomelo.
Call me Apomelo.
Like you're comparing the lip balm to a lip gloss. Okay. But you go.
But it's nice. But AB lip balm, like I just got my little hands on it and I'm very happy with it. Even though it's going to cost you some coins. I like it. But I also like Nude Sticks. To be fair, like this segment of what's on your face isn't necessarily like what I love. It's just what I'm wearing.
I think everyone knows that by now. This is like not a disclaimer.
I have it on there, but like to be fair, the Nude Sticks one, which is like significantly cheaper, is fucking nice. And also, you know what I got my hands on from Nude Sticks? The Nude Body Range.
You did?
I sure did.
What?
did.
Does it smell nice?
The peptide body cream is, it smells amazing. I feel like you would love it.
They have a peptide body cream. I feel like they probably stole the formula from Hailey Bieber and was like, let's just fucking get this to market first.
No, like she's just, like Hailey is just the, oh, not Hailey. Ew. Why are we talking about her? We're talking about, I thought you were talking about Sophia Richie. Yeah, ew.
No.
No. No. Do not like Hailey.
No, but peptide, I think it's a peptide beautiful body product is what Hailey Bieber is going to come out next with, because she had that like teaser image of her pouring the giant road bottle like down her back into her bum.
Ugh, because that's all she has to offer. And that's why Justin's bored with her and he wants Selena back.
I literally cannot have a constructive conversation with you about Hailey Bieber.
No, you cannot, because it's Selena ride or die, baby. Me and Selena are going down in the sad train together. We're not both sad. Together.
Okay, fine. Can I move on to the next thing I wanted to talk to you about?
Sure. Okay,
this is a bit late in the game, and I'm sure everyone's heard by now, but it's the latte makeup trend that's been trending on TikTok. Yeah, I love it too. It's very Aussie. It's like, you know, two notable Australian makeup artists like have claimed that it's from them. It's like very bronzy. It's always on like a blonde bronzy model with like blue eyes or green eyes. But I'm like, I can do it, but I just don't feel like it's going to have the same effect. I don't know.
I feel
have
like
you tried
should
it?
Do what you want. I've tried it only just on my eyelids. And that's because Jesus gave me a bronze that is effervescent. So I don't need to use a bronze. No, but I've like, so I saw this girl on TikTok and she was like Asian American. I'm not sure where she's from. First things first, she started out with brown eyeliner. And I was like, that's where I'm going to have to cut you off, girl, because that's not going to show up on me. So then what I did like was that she put on like a brown eyeshadow all over her lid, like everywhere or over her lid. And then she did a little bit of gold like in the middle. Mm. And then she did like a brown liner and like a glossy brown lip. And I was like, okay, I'm with you on that. And then obviously she did contour and all that other kind of stuff, which I was like, I'm not really like doing any of that right now.
No.
But like, I like little pieces of like what the whole look is. I like take little bits of it and make it my own.
Yeah. But I feel like with these looks, it's like you kind of have to adjust with how like the coloration of your own skin and your own complexion. So it's like,
yeah,
for
exactly.
you, it's like you're looking into more of the glitters, the shimmers, the golds, like that exactly. sort of realm. But like for someone who's more fair skin, they can do the more bronzy, the browns.
Exactly.
Like, so I feel like it's not a one size fits all.
You can just make it your own and like exactly. and have it work for you. Which, as a matter of fact, after I watched that video, I saw other Black creators doing the looks with it as well. So, and it's like definitely something that you can like make it your own and like, but just like if you're on TikTok, look up latte makeup and like it's there and you can like make it your own look. It's cool.
It is. There was another thing I wanted to share with you that's not really part of what's on my face, but I've been getting really into K-beauty, like back into it, like deep, not just westernized K-beauty brands, but brands that are actually popular in Korea.
Name it out, who you're into.
Okay, so just to kind of give a bit of context, like there are a slew of brands that are marketed for Westerners and foreigners that Koreans don't use at all, like K-beauty brands. You know, they're just for, yeah. And then there's the actual K-beauty. So I've been using Round Lab, Astura, Kahi, De Alba, Torta, and all of these brands, like from a creative perspective, the branding is so interesting because it's like not the top, you know, five directions you would choose for, you know, a non-Korean community. I don't know if that makes sense. Like it's a
I get it.
They're random. Like they all look like really ornate, like romantic, like really swirly, girly, you know, think the Jill Stewart type of look and feel.
Yeah.
Anna Sui. Or it's just like a random mix of letters that doesn't mean anything, you know?
I guess that makes sense because Korea's beauty landscape is so wide and there's so much of it that you have so many
advanced.
Different people. Yeah. You have so many different people creating these brands and it's like everybody has their own rendition or their own opinion of what they think is beautiful and is fun and is like, you know, kitschy and it's going to get people's attention. So then you have all of these people who think the Jill Stewarts are cool, like the Jill Stewart kind of aesthetic is cool, or the COSRX aesthetic is cool, or, you know, you can go on and on and on, which when you think about COSRX and Jill Stewart, it's like couldn't be further apart from each other. But that's kind of like how K-beauty is that you have so many different brands, like,
and they're there's all
a, like a whole rabbit hole of brands there.
So many brands, and they're all so cheap. Like the price point is just chef's kiss. Mwah.
Yeah.
It's like under $30.
Super cheap and be happy with it.
Like I could not find a product that is like over $50.
That's what you want.
That's what you need. Like they've got to figure it out. Like we're out here spending $90 on fucking marula oil and it's like they've got to figure out. It's like under $40.
But somebody's gonna pay for it, right? And so that's at the end of the day, like when that's you set your them. Price, someone exactly like if someone sets their price, that's their price. Like they've said it. But I mean, we've talked about it before, like how mass is just like such a thing that people just turn their nose up at. Like mass
is where the money is. Mass is where the money is. I know. Shall we get to beauty news?
Yes, beauty news.
Beauty news.
So you're super excited about some things, aren't you?
This was an intense news cycle. Like one thing was carried over from our last recording, which we didn't get to talk about, and that is Pinault. I don't know how to say or pronounce him correctly.
I don't know either.
Yeah, so he is Salma Hayek's husband, and his,
that's right.
Yes, his family. Yes, his family owns she has a 41% stake in the company Kering, which is, you know, kind of like LVMH's rival company. They have designer brands like Gucci, Saint Laurent, Balenciaga, yada yada. So Pinault, he is looking to acquire CAA, you know, like the talent management agency, for $7 billion.
I mean, that's probably nothing to him, to be very honest with you. Like, I feel like
true.
It's probably absolutely nothing to him. I feel like, I don't know, when I think about like billionaires these days, they're just kind of like, oh, $7 billion, that's like they're a cute little venture like for you. That's adorable.
Yeah, that's like a few PJs.
And I bet when we're all like, we're all drooling over Rihanna being like, she's a billionaire, she's worth $1 billion. They're like, her first billion. I got that when I was 5.
Yeah, that's like small change. But I was thinking, and it's like, you know, LVMH, they have Jay-Z and Beyonce with Tiffany. They have Pharrell with fucking LV. They have Rihanna, you know? And
who's fucking Fenty, yeah.
Yes. And then they have, you know, Kendo, which is kind of a vehicle for celebrities, like maybe in the future for more celebrities to get online with their own beauty ventures. And so
100%.
With this Kering Pinault acquiring CAA, that's like an easy, pipeline for celebrity lines, right? Yep.
I mean, and they could, there's so many, what we talked about this before, right? Like the rating system of like, you know, celebrities and how people view them and like, what people think about them in like their persona or whatever. Like, I think we were talking about this for like Scarlett Johansson's with like Outset or whatever. So maybe they're going to do the same thing where they, if they have this company, they'll say, okay, like what celebrities are the most likable and, you know, are fashion forward or trendy or have like amazing skin, blah, 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 blah. And how can we attach them to a brand or create a brand with them?
Totally.
And then get into that game.
And like, if you were a up and coming celeb, actor, musician, whatever, it, like, wouldn't you like be dying to sign with CAA knowing that they have this up their sleeve, that this is possible, that you can like, you know, start your own line and stuff in the future? Like, it's a no-brainer.
No brainer. Absolutely correct.
And then, so there is a part two of this where the news kind of really boosted this up this week. So Kering acquired Creed, the fragrance house, for $3
billion. Yep.
That's a lot.
So, I mean, it's a lot of money.
Well, think about it. I mean, Byredo got $1 billion.
Yes.
Okay. And so this is Creed. I mean, Creed has a bit more history. It's, you know, a more
looks super.
Crete is so good. It was one of my first fancy fragrances when I was younger. It's high quality, high quality.
High quality.
Yeah.
And but so I feel like it's a lot. That's a lot for, I mean, what was the last big acquisition? Like, cause 3 billion, I feel like the closest to that I've heard was Too Faced. Too Faced was what, like 2 point something billion. I don't know if they're getting that back.
Yeah. Well, I feel like every big brand parent company, like Kering, LVMH, and even the beauty brands, you know, Estee Lauder got Tom Ford, L'Oreal got Aesop, Kering got Creed, and
everybody gets one.
Everyone is snatching these up like Pokemon cards.
Yeah, and you get a brand, and you get a brand, and you get a brand.
And like less than 10 years ago, Le Labo was acquired for $60 million, which
fucking
seems like a
change.
I know, it seems that's like a bargain.
Embarrassing.
That's embarrassing.
If that is any type of like tells founders to just hold out,
yeah,
just a little. Because like, if I was the founder of Le Labo, I'd be like, the fuck,
I'd be so upset. And then, this week, Parfums de Marly, like remember that brand that?
Yeah.
That Gita was 700 million.
Yeah, Le Labo.
Private equity.
Le Labo, you messed up a little bit. Just a little bit. You should have waited.
Well, Byredo got one, but Byredo is a fresh new brand. Parfums de Marly has history. You know, Creed has history.
True.
But I have a prediction.
And
these are my thoughts and my thoughts alone. I have a prediction that Augustin Espadre is going to be next. It's going to be, you know, showing itself around the shops. I don't know. I just have a feeling.
I just have a feeling
because it's so hot and like they've done so much. And I feel like everything that they've done, all the growth, it's like they're doing it.
Wants to pay off.
They're shaking their titties.
I wouldn't be surprised. They're going to have to get out there and shake their titties. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody came and bought AB. Like, I put La Mer and AB in the same category, even if the stories are fake and, like, there's, you know, there was no doctor that, like, went to, you know, that was a part of
NASA,
La Mer or whatever. Even if that whole thing is, like, bullshit, like, it's still a story that people believe that this doctor was like, oh, the seaweed. And, like, it's like cuddly. It's like, you know, when these people had this vineyard and some doctor was like, oh, did you know that these grapes? Like, there's some doctor that saw something or that created something and then, you know, they've capitalized on it. Augustin Espadre is literally that.
Yeah.
Like, it is that story. And he's, like, living, breathing here right now. And I feel like the way that that brand works, you give it, you know, 50 years from now when, you know, AB is long gone. And I'm not trying to say that anything bad because he's like kind of old. But 50 years from now, I'm assuming when he's long gone, people will be like, oh, the doctor. And there's going to be somebody's like, he's fake. He never existed. He wasn't curing kids' skin problems in China. That's a bunch of bullshit. But it's true, right? Like, and we know that that's true. So I feel like the history and like the DNA behind the brand, it's definitely bankable. But I mean, should they hold out more? Because are they going to be like a Le Labo?
It's like, are they
when everybody else is getting a Billy,
a Too Faced, or are they going to be a Le Labo? And I don't know. Like, I feel like Kering is really ramping up their beauty efforts. Like, they just announced a new head of beauty, and they are acquiring, like, you know,
yeah, they're acquiring like crazy. Because I feel like everybody is seeing that. Beauty is like this thing that, like, even in a recession, people are still buying lipstick. They're still buying perfume. Mm-hmm. They're still into it. So I think if, you know, if I was Pinault, I would be thinking the same. Let's get into this beauty game.
Pinot, maybe.
Pinot?
We don't know. Someone tell us. Okay. And then even better news happened.
I know. You're so excited about this.
I know. I'm like frothing at the mouth. Prada Beauty has launched today, August
4th.
I won't say the day it is in case people are like, it takes you long to, you know, get your episodes in order.
Don't judge us.
Exactly. Okay. So anyway, Prada Beauty launched today and it launched from Raf Simons and Muccia Prada. And they also announced like a digital AI creative director and her name is Inez Alpha, who I've been following for a few years now. She's like a great digital artist. She does these 3D renderings. She does amazing filters, like back when filters were a huge hit, you know, on Instagram. She did really beautiful ones. And I was like, oh my God, I really want to work with her. But yeah, so she's
put that out there, manifest.
Well, not anymore, bitch, because she's now taken on by Prada Beauty. Yeah, jump ship. So it's launched. So Prada Beauty had a line like in the early 90s, I want to say. And the whole concept was like one use scenario, or it's like a week's worth of concealer in like these little, you know, throwaway packets, you know, like condiment packets. But that folded. Yeah. It didn't work out. And now they're back.
Yeah, because it sounds like it sounds not very hygienic.
And so now they've launched with skincare and makeup, and fragrance is now part of this Prada Beauty, you know, segment.
Makes sense.
Exactly. And I got really excited because in the press release, they were like, there's going to be 4 color eyeshadow palettes. Also 33 shades of foundation. I was like, ooh. And then $50 lipsticks. And I was like, okay. And then tools. And so today they launched. I didn't see foundation anywhere, which was the one I was most excited for.
See what it looks like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it looks so nice. But the packaging is beautiful. It's like it looks heavy, metallic. You know, it has the Prada logo everywhere. But the products kind of, it didn't excite me, I'll just say.
You know, so here's the thing is that I feel like all of these fashion houses are launching their 3 axes now, because they all already, for the most part, have a fragrance. All of the ones that you can think of have a fragrance, right? And then they do something like this where, you know, they're like, I'm going to do an eyeshadow palette. I'm going to do some lip. It's probably going to take them a bit of time to get their foundation together. That's probably like second wave is my guess. The skincare is quite easy. It's a 3-step. It sounds like a cleanser, a serum, and a cream.
It looks like JLo super Beauty. Easy. There, I said it.
Okay, so I mean, but the thing about it is that all of these brands that are fashion houses that launch beauty lines, 3-axis beauty lines, they fucking kill it. When I saw that was launching, they do. Gucci's doing fucking well. When I saw Gucci launching, I was like, what the hell is this? This is boring. Nobody cares. And what is happening? Gucci is killing it. The ads, like the marketing behind it is huge. So I feel like these are the exception to the rule outside of like celebrity. I feel like when you see a celebrity brand, that's when you groan and you're like, oh. But when you think about top performing brands, like a lot of them are fashion houses. Think about Dior. Think about how big Dior is. Think about YSL.
Yeah.
Babes.
Yes.
Even though Burberry is boring.
Burberry,
it does well.
Yeah.
Its fragrance does well. Marc Jacobs, which is rebought. No, it's being revived. It's coming back, but babe.
I love Marc Jacobs, but like Valentino for me fell short. But I'm sure it'll do well. Like
fair. Valentino fell short. That's very fair.
I'm looking forward to another one that's launching, I think soonish. I don't know. Rabanne by Paco Rabanne, which is a resurgence. I mean, I just want them to excite me. But when I saw this eyeshadow quad with the triangle shaped pans,
yeah, it's giving Maybelline. But maybe that's like their thing. And like Prada is very much like, let me just put my logo on something. Like the bucket hat thing that like everybody was like buying a bucket hat with the Prada on it. Or people were buying these nylon bags, these tiny little nylon black bags.
You put a Prada logo on it, I will buy it.
And they're going to come to the yard and buy it. So I feel like for them, they're just like, yeah, we're going to give you Maybelline, but it's Prada and you're going to buy it. And guess what? People are going to buy it. That's on period.
And a disclaimer that Prada is independently owned. It's like the one brand that is not part of a larger house. You know what I mean?
Let's see how long that lasts.
Until Muccia dies, I swear.
Well, I mean, yeah. Yeah, but I feel like it's a rarity. That is rare, but we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah, it's really exciting. My last or almost last piece from my side is a brand that I do love. I do mm-hmm. love. It's Half Magic Beauty, our A24 darling, created by Sam Levinson, the director of Euphoria, with his wife, Ashley Levinson, and Donnie Davy, who's the creative director and the makeup artist for Euphoria, as a refresher. It's launching with Ulta.
Woo!
I mean, yes, I will give them a round of applause.
I mean, it's that neighborhood store vibe. It's the neighborhood store vibe. Why not?
420 something stores. Well done.
Absolutely. I agree. Well, it is pretty major. My only call out for this is the fact that they are not launching with any foundation. That's my only call out.
That's a good thing.
Is it good?
Yeah, because
look, I think if you want to be successful as a makeup brand, and like, are you just going to sell blush and glittery lips and eye jewels? You're only going to like be there for people when they need to go to a festival or a rave, and that's it.
Yeah, and also Gen Zs don't wear foundation. Like, stop.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
They do not wear foundation.
They at least wear concealer.
Yeah.
Come on.
But they're wearing.
Yeah, and they don't have concealer. They have nothing.
You don't believe all the trend reports that have been coming out where it says that Gen Zs don't wear foundation. You're like, yes, they do.
They do. Well, you know what? Gen Zs wear. Are we talking about only Gen Zs in America? Are we talking about Gen Zs around the globe?
Around the world,
babe. They're wearing foundation and they're buying it fancy. Do you remember when everybody was talking about the Gen Zs buying Dior blush?
Yes, I do.
They're buying foundation. Whether or not they're using it is another thing. And if they're not using foundation, they are 100% using concealer. And the one thing I will say about Half Magic is that all they have in their launch are very cute. It looks like little takeaway boxes of blush. And that little eye jewels, and they have glittery lips. They have glittery lips
and matte lips and lip liners and eyeshadows.
Yes, they do.
Weird tool thing.
But I want this to like be blushes. A brand that lasts. Like, is it going to be a brand that's like around for a long time, or are we going to live fast and die young? Because if you want to live fast and die young, then Half Magic, you're doing the right thing, baby. You're gonna live fast and die young.
Maybe it's coming.
Maybe I hope that at least a concealer is coming, or at least like an under eye corrector or something like that is coming, and like a few shades. Because if not,
but
you're gonna live fast and die young. Also, speaking of Euphoria, shout out to Fezco, RIP.
Oh my god,
fucking the saddest. Sad.
That's really sad. That's really, sad. Really, really sad. Poor guy.
Oh, poor guy. But like, you know, I'm just saying, he's like 25. That is like extraordinarily young.
No, I was affected by that news today.
Yeah, I was too. I was like, oh my gosh, like Fezco daddy, like what the fuck?
Now you made me forget what I was going to say about Half Magic Beauty after you brought this.
But because I'm just letting you know, Half Magic Beauty, they need to come with a bit more substance.
Oh, I remembered. No, you know what? I stand by Donnie and Sam Levinson because in the show, they said that they used the Chantecaille Future Skin Foundation. Because that was the only product that gave the appearance of no foundation. Like, to achieve what they wanted to achieve, they used that product. And I will tip my hat to someone who says that there's currently a best in the market. And maybe she's like, I don't want to create a foundation line just for the sake of it. Because, you know, someone's already doing it. I appreciate that. Okay.
You know, you're not wrong. You're not. I think to be... to be a long-lasting makeup brand and to be able to move weight and to keep your place in a store, keep your top shelf, keep that excitement, you should have a bit more substance. And that substance comes from foundation. When you look at all of the big girl brands, I think they all have foundation, with the exception being maybe Rare Beauty, but she has a tinted moisturizer.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of business is being driven by like lips and blush. But I do feel like if you want to be a big girl and have longevity, you got to have foundation.
Okay. Place a
bet.
Or
at least a concealer. Yeah. Or like a powder foundation.
Concealer or like a skin tint, maybe.
That That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying.
Let's put some money on this to make it interesting. Offline. Let's circle back to this offline with like a time period.
You don't want to challenge. You don't want to
interesting.
We'll make it challenging. Well, let's lay it on me. I feel like my thing is concealer, foundation, skin tint, something.
Within the next year or else they're going to flop within 3 years. Like, let's make this a proper bet.
6 months. You launch big. You give everybody what they know that you can do, okay, which is like the sexy eyes and like the Gen Z, little bit drunk. I'm doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that. 6 months, you give me some concealer.
Okay.
You give me a skin tint.
Let's see if that happens. Okay.
Because anybody who, like, I mean, some people want to have textured rough skin, but like realistically, bro, like give me a concealer. If I'm living that euphoria life and I'm out partying hard all the time, I need concealer to cover up my dark eye bags.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? I mean,
I would
what
buy
was her,
it.
What, yeah.
I would Anyways, buy the concealer.
I would too. I'm not going to buy eye glitter. Like, I mean, if I went to a festival, I'd buy it.
Let's go to a festival.
I would buy it if I went to a festival. Let's go to a festival. All right. Moving on to things we're obsessed with.
Things we're obsessed with.
MJ, what are you obsessed with?
I have a bit of a backstory with mine quickly. I was listening to a podcast with one of my favorite girlies of all time, FK Twigs, and she said that she eats sea moss gummies in order to help her with her mucus. And I'm like fascinated with mucus, and I'm also disgusted by mucus. Ew. I hate mucus, Ew. And I try to get it out of my system in every way that I can.
Good job.
Sea moss gummies help your system get rid of the bad mucus. And like I heard in a movie or a TV show like a few months ago where someone said that's probably mucus from 2 years ago. And I was like,
Ew.
What? I was like, you can have mucus from 2 years ago stuck in your body? What?
I went down a fucking rabbit hole.
And yeah, okay. You're supposed to try to expel mucus. And that's what people like do yoga and, you know, yada, yada. Anyway, these sea moss gummies, I got them on Amazon. They sure were shipped from the US. They have like a really high volume of sea moss. I don't fucking know. They taste good. They don't taste weird. And I like them. And they're blue.
I, on a principle, don't trust anything that's a gummy.
I usually don't either, but FK Twigs does it, and so I can do it too.
If FK, you know what, I'm not going to ask, because I was going to say something completely rangy, and that, which would be fully on brand for me, but I'm going to, you know what I'm going to say? If you like it, I love it, girl. That's all I can even say about that.
What are you obsessed with?
My thing is so basic, but just from growing up, like where I grew up, it's so big to me. So I just came back from Vietnam. Mm-hmm. I was in Da Lat, Vietnam, which is like more like north, and it's like very, a bit more rainy and wet. So we went during the off season. It was absolutely stunning. Like
it looked beautiful.
Beautiful. It was stunning. And so my girlfriend who like booked everything, she was just like, look, it's going to be rainy. It's going to be cold. And she's like traveled with me many times. She's like a great travel partner. And we went with our families and she was like, Sade, I know you're a little bitch when it comes to being cold. So you need to bring rain boots. You need to bring jacket. You need to like prepare yourself because I don't want to hear you whinging. She heard me whinging anyways, but that's for other things. But I got rain boots, and I've heard that hunter boots are really good, but by the time I was looking, it was too late to order them and get them on time. So everyone was like, just go to Decathlon and you can get a pair for like nothing. So I got a pair of rain boots from Decathlon for $20. I was the happiest I've ever been in rainy, cold weather ever in my entire life.
Like wet feet.
I grew up in Phoenix. So it's like hot all the time. It's sunshine 333 days of the year. Like,
was this your first pair of rain boots?
Yes.
Ever?
Maybe when I was a kid I had. I probably would have because I was born in Canada. But like this was my first real pair of rain boots. And
were
I
you
was
like
just like
one of those videos of cats and dogs wearing shoes and they're like walking funny and you like didn't know how to walk with them?
No, I knew how to walk in them. I definitely knew how to walk in them. But it was just really like, I was so happy. I was just like, this is so amazing. I love
jumping
wearing
rain in puddles.
Boots. I was jumping in puddles with my daughter. Like it was so cool. Great. It was like, how have I never like done this before? We did like this terrible, treacherous nature hike that
and
was like
scaring
the shit out of me.
Because you weren't wet.
Exactly. Because my feet weren't wet and my feet weren't like muddy. I had zero muddy toes. Like in Singapore, like I feel like I'll wear flip-flops out when it's raining because I want to avoid ruining my shoes. But then I end up being like, oh, my feet are so gross.
No, it's
like,
it's essential.
I hate it.
It is.
So
and then,
I'm going to like probably invest in a pair of hunter boots or like, it's like a new life for me.
You should.
I'm so happy.
It reminds me of the quote that I once heard. There's no such thing as bad weather, just badly dressed people.
That's very true.
Think about it.
And now that I have rain boots, like I was like telling my girlfriend, I was like, we can go anywhere now. And she was like, really? You would like,
I
was
can
like,
do anything.
I can do anything with these fucking rain boots. Like I would go and like camp on the beach. And she's like, camp on the beach with rain boots. I was like, yes, because I hate sand in my toes.
Oh my God, you
and
would if I have wear rain boots to on, the beach.
Then I would be like, yes. Like it's a whole new world. I'm
so
obsessed with rain boots. I'm
Sade
obsessed
and
with
her
rain
boots.
Boots.
This could be
and
a book.
And she's taking over the fucking world, man.
Yeah, no, seriously. Love it.
Well, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you like what you're hearing, give us 5 stars. We're available on Spotify and Apple. Also, don't forget to follow us on social media and Instagram and TikTok at @whatsonyourface_. Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys. Bye.